The views expressed on the following program are not necessarily those of Walnut Media USA, its staff, management, or advertisers. Now, The Journey with Van Deeb.
Welcome to The Journey with me as your host, Van Deeb. You know, our mission is to inspire and motivate and encourage you to live your best life. So the guests I have on this show have experiences and stories that we can all benefit from. And remember, you can share all these episodes by going to kcro.com. And if you ever have a comment or a question, oh, please reach out to me at van@vandeeb.com, and I'll get right back to you. Well, today I'm pretty excited. I've got a young man, a good-looking guy named Chad Mayers. He is the president and CEO, two big titles. I got a big deal in the studio today. he's the founder and president and CEO of The Work Lab, and I'll just give you a little brief on it. The Work Lab is a nonprofit employer collaborative transforming how businesses support employees through work-life coach and resource navigation services. He has a background in HR and operations management. Chad has leveraged his experience to develop The Work Lab, which is bridging the gap between work and life to help individuals build the life they want supported by their work. And I want to tell you something, that's needed now more than ever. But with that, I'm going to welcome Chad to The Journey.
Thank you.
I'm glad you're here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. Thank you for being here. You know, Chad, before we get into The Work Lab, because I'm really fired up, I want to hear more about it. And I know you were honored in 2024 for your company, but I'm anxious to hear more about it. But before we do, I like to have my audience find out a little bit about you as a person. Where'd you grow up? Tell us about your family.
Yep. So I'm originally from Lincoln, Nebraska.
Okay. Is that west of here?
It's a little bit west.
Okay. And they've got a football team.
And they got a little football team down
right.
there.
Right. Okay.
Absolutely.
I'm totally with you.
Absolutely. And when you travel to Lincoln, you go down to Lincoln, not up to Lincoln if you're coming from Omaha.
That's right.
It's down
to Lincoln.
Yep. That's one of my pet peeves.
You could pretty much just go from Omaha and just like get your car and not even turn it on and just let it roll.
Yeah, you could.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
Yep, okay. You could. So I moved to Omaha back in 2013. I was working with the Coca-Cola company at the time down in Lincoln. Then I moved up to Omaha for a promotion that I got with them.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm married and then I have three little boys.
Oh, geez. I feel sorry for your wife.
Oh, geez. Well, I feel sorry for me sometimes too with it, but they're great kids. So my oldest, his name is Sebastian. He's 8. Okay. And then I have my middle son, his name is Santiago, and he's 4. And then my youngest, who is quite the firecracker, his name is Stanford, but we call him 40, and he is 2.
Oh, my gosh.
And then we also have a little golden doodle named Charlie.
Oh, right on.
Who's 1 and something at this point, and he's a lot of fun, too.
And what's your wife's name?
Yannette. Y-A-N-E-T-H.
Net. Well, what great names for kids.
Yeah, I can take zero credit for the names. My wife came up with all of them. So
she's the creative one in the family.
She is the creative one in the family, yes.
Sebastian, Santiago, Stanford, and Charlie.
Yep.
I love it. Yep. I feel bad for her. So I think we should all do something nice for your wife that she's got to deal with 4 boys. Well, actually 5 if you include Charlie.
Yep. Yep. She is surrounded by men. So, yeah. Yep. Yes. I think everyone should do something nice for her. And if they want to do it through me so that I can get the credit for
it, all
the better.
We'll just give everybody your contact info and they can.
Wonderful. They can. Wonderful.
So you've been in Omaha now. This is 2025. You've been here for 12 years. So what do you think? I mean, are you enjoying living in Omaha?
Yeah, I really enjoy Omaha. I enjoy Lincoln as well. You know, it was an opportunity with work that brought me up here. But I think you probably agree with what I'm about to say. Omaha is a very unique community in that there are so many people that are willing to just sit down with you, especially older individuals that can serve as a mentor in various capacities. If you reach out to them and you ask them, hey, so-and-so gave me your information. Yep. something I'm working on, or there's an idea that I have, or I'm not sure what I want to do. Here's my background. Here's where I'm at. Would you be willing to have coffee with me? Very rarely have I ever gotten either no response or a no to that question. And I wouldn't be where I am today were it not for that being a signature trait of this community.
You know, Chad, I'm really glad that you brought that up, because that is a real feather in our cap in Omaha. I mean, I really believe that too. And people, you know, when you say, can you help me? They don't say it because they're supposed to. They don't say yes. They do it because it's in their heart.
Yep.
I think we've just got, I always brag about the great humans that we have here. You know, when I travel, Chad, and I do a lot of motivational speaking throughout the country, and people say, gosh, man, what are you doing in Omaha? There's no beaches, there's no mountains, you have cold weather. And I'm like, you know, we have the best humans on the planet. And that's a very serious answer, because I really believe that. I like to get away once in a while, but I love having a home base where we just got good humans. I mean, you and I experienced it out in the hallway before we came on the show today, Chad. A gentleman comes up I haven't talked to for a while. I had COVID in 2020, and I thought I was dying. I mean, you know, that's back when they had the tally in the right-hand corner of the TV, and it's turning fast how many people have died, and they're dying daily.
Yep.
And I'm freaking out. And my girlfriend, she had it too, so she was at her house. I was at mine. And but like this gentleman, found out I had COVID. What can I do for you? People were bringing me, people that I'm not even that close to were bringing me care packages, which, you know, I'll never forget the outpouring of humans.
Yeah.
That's the kind of city we live in.
Yep.
And I don't know if you know this, Chad, but we're ranked in the top, I'm not sure if it's number one per capita for philanthropic per capita. Our city is. Everybody's involved in something to help other people.
Yep.
But like young people like you, I can see where you really embrace Omaha, because, people want to help people that, and you know, it's like one of my books I wrote, The Power of Asking. If we don't ask for help, we're not going to get it.
Yep. Absolutely. It's absolutely true. And I think you're spot on the willingness to, if I can't give you anything other than my time.
Yeah.
And maybe if I'm not the right person to help you along, here's some other people that I think you should talk to that you may not know or may not be able to get to were it not for this connection that I already have with them. Or it may take you a lot longer to get to them. So let me grease the wheels for you.
Mm. And how are you going to feel about that person? Instead of you calling him up saying, can you help me with this? They have two options. They can say no. Thanks, Chad. Have a nice day. You know, Chad, we don't, or they can say, you know, Chad, we don't do that here, but let me give you some people that do.
Right.
Are you going to remember them forever?
Yeah. Yeah. They're the opportunity to make a contribution to someone else, even if it's giving what for some people can be the most valuable thing that they have, which is their time and their attention to whatever it is that you're doing, can be immensely valuable. And you can learn a lot from those conversations.
I totally agree. I teach my salespeople at Prime Home Realty that when you have a client that asks you for some information and you don't, it's not in your space and you don't have it, go out of your way to find out. I mean, take 2 seconds and Google it.
Yep.
And say, you know what, you may want to try these people. They will never forget you. And how long did it take? Maybe 60 seconds?
Yep.
Yeah, so we're on the same page. I'm really glad you're that type of person.
Yeah, appreciate that.
Did you go to college?
Yeah, I graduated from the University of Nebraska at Lincoln.
Oh,
and then I also have a graduate certificate from UNO in HR.
Oh, so, right on.
Yep.
So I went to UNO. Yeah. And I told you earlier my GPA.
Yeah.
It didn't impress you, though, did it, Chad?
I mean,
ever,
it would
you ever
impress
met
anyone.
Somebody with a 0.04 GPA?
No, I want to know what was the class that you got the D minus in.
I think it was, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was basket weaving.
Okay.
Because I was really into it.
Okay. And what was the girl's name that caused you for that to be the one class that you went to?
You know what? I think there were several.
Okay. Yeah. That makes more sense then. Okay.
You know me. Yeah. You definitely know me. Well, this is really cool. So, you know, growing up, all of this maybe run across something that inspires us. It could be, with me, it was a movie that inspired me to want to be something.
Yep.
Rocky did something to me when I saw it when I was in high school. I left that movie just fired up that, hey, underdogs can make it too. And but was there anything, person, place, or thing that you might say, you know, this person or inspired me or, you know?
Yeah. My answer is actually a book, and I'll provide some context for that. So cool. I've, throughout the entirety of my career, I've been interested in how organizations can serve, especially their entry-level employees, better. And I think a part of that has always been, how can the entry-level employees think about their work differently so that it provides more value and meaning to them? So my initial kind of foray into that, I worked through college working with the Coca-Cola company, stocking pop on the shelves, more or less.
It was still probably a great learning experience.
It was an awesome
had to be.
Learning experience. And a lot of those lessons I learned later on, you know, looking back, like making those connections of things that I realized as I was doing that work. It also allowed me to live independently. Because I was self-sufficient because I had this other opportunity. So that always stuck out to me that we're missing something there with how organizations talk about part-time jobs. Mm-hmm. Used to think a lot about tuition reimbursement programs. I had one available to me, but I wasn't smart enough at the time to take advantage of it. But those sorts of things always stuck with me. So this was around 2015, and I was actually up in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and it was in a failed attempt to get into their MBA program. But I had visited an organization that they have that's attached to the university up there called the Center for Positive Organizations, which, oversimplifying, is the application of principles of positive psychology into an organizational setting.
Building a culture.
Building a culture. What does that look like? But how you do it in a positive way, taking what are some of the principles of success and thriving and putting those into an organizational context. As I was there, I was perusing their website because I was sitting in a coffee shop one night and I found this book called Changing Your Company from the Inside Out, A Guide to Social Entrepreneurship.
Mm.
And at the time, I had gotten involved and I had done the graduate certificate program at UNO. I was doing some work here in Omaha, branching out to community organizations to help identify people to come in and work for our company. Again, trying to advertise the jobs that we had a little bit differently by going out to folks instead of waiting for them to click the Indeed button to come to us.
Mm-hmm.
And through that, gotten involved in some workforce development and some nonprofit stuff. So I saw myself a little bit as a novice entrepreneur in that way. So that title spoke to me. And then in the second chapter of that book, they highlighted a company in Grand Rapids, Michigan called Cascade Engineering that had started a welfare to career program underneath their umbrella. And that, through some trials and some failures, had morphed into a nonprofit that they founded with some other companies in town, specifically another group called Butterball Farms, which is the butter, not the turkey.
Okay.
It came from the same place.
Specified that, I would have been thinking turkey.
Yep. So came from the same place.
Some. Yes. Did you bring any turkey with you?
No, but we can go get some later. I know a good spot.
Thank you, Chad.
So in that telling in the book, this thing that they had done, which started as a partnership with the Department of Health and Human Services and having a caseworker on site, morphed into this nonprofit that kept this DHHS partnership, but then also started employing people that they called a resource navigator, which was a private individual who could help anyone, as opposed to the caseworker who could only help individuals that were currently on welfare, help them reduce, eliminate, or move past non-work-related barriers that keep people from being at work. So that could be a transportation issue, could be a childcare issue, could be a housing issue, could be a legal issue, life. Anything going on in your life, if it's keeping you from being present at work, we're going to have a person for you to talk to. And the idea there that stuck with me immediately, and especially living in this community, it's not resources or services that we're lacking. It's relationship and connection.
Wow.
Who do you go and talk to when you're not sure what to do about whatever it is that you have going on? Someone who's unbiased, non-judgmental, who you can have a confidential relationship with, but can you do it in the place where you spend most of your time, which is where you work?
I think non-judgmental is a key.
Yes.
I mean, isn't that a key today even?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Creating that space for someone to get to what is the fundamental root cause issue that's going on here. Because you may walk into the door with one thing, but there's really something else more fundamental that's really the issue that I want to get to. Or I may not even know that it's the issue that I want to get to. But if I can build a trusting relationship with you in a confidential, non-judgmental space, I'm more likely to get there, if not initially, then over time.
That one book. I mean, just think about what would your life turn out to be if you wouldn't have read that book?
Oh, I have no idea.
I mean, it charted your course, didn't it?
Absolutely. That was the inflection point, because after I read that, all the ideas kind of flowed out of that, and it was a real light bulb moment for me.
Yeah.
But then the question was, okay, that exists there. How can we get it in Omaha?
Yeah. Wow, this is awesome. Chad, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to The Journey. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Chad Mayers. And we're back on The Journey with Chad Mayers. He is the president and CEO of The Work Lab. And I'm really enjoying this conversation. I'm taking notes. I mean, I'm learning a lot about, what's important to you and how this all, it's just all common sense to me. And piggybacking where we left off just now. So I do a lot of consulting with CEOs and upper-level management with just, I've got a reputation for just thinking common sense. I'm a basic and fundamental specialist, and that's where a lot of people miss the boat. They just, they forget the basics and fundamentals. And I always tell people, it's like when a coach is running off the field at halftime, they're down by 7 points. A reporter shoves a mic in their face and says, "Hey, coach, you're down by 7. What are you going to do the second half?" I could almost lip read. Mm-hmm. I could almost say it before they do. We're going to get back to the basics and fundamentals.
Yep.
But so that's what I preach a lot, because it usually is a pretty good remedy, or at least gets them thinking about it. But I would think with this process that you've been talking about, building relationships, really, to me, you're accomplishing two things with that. You're making people feel like they matter.
Yep.
And they're not just employee number 65283.
Yep.
And your retention rate has got to be one of the best on the planet, because they're not jumping ship. They're not going in the portal, you know, is how I define it today. Because today, if they're not happy, you know, there's a study that you could probably quote all this to me, but 62% of people that leave their company leave because of the way they were treated by their coworkers, or not feeling like they matter by their employer.
Yes.
And then another fact, and Nick, our great producer, has heard me say a million times, which it all ties into this, we have issues. We have issues before we get to work and after we leave.
Yep.
We need you to not judge us. We need you to understand that we're coming to work with some problems in our life.
Yep.
And we need you to understand that so we can perform better. But like in February of 1998, they did a study, and 1 out of 8 people suffered from mental illness, anxiety, depression. That's 1 out of 8 people. In February of 2022, they did that same study, and it was 1 out of 2.5 people.
Mm-hmm.
So it just shows you we need to be more considerate. We need to be more understanding, non-judgmental. And we want to keep employees or keep people in our camp, even on a personal level.
Mm-hmm.
Everything you just said has got to be part of our program.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's multiple layers to it. But getting back to what you said about the fundamentals, what I like to think about is, what is the fundamental reason why we're working? And take a moment to get there. So you might think, oh, the compensation.
Feed ourselves.
You know, Matt, you're getting to Maslow's. It might be that this company has meaningful work, or I have a job that I'm doing that's challenging me, but I keep stripping it down. Fundamentally, to me, the reason why you're working, why anyone's working, we have this one life that we have an opportunity to live so far as we know, and we want to have a certain type of life for ourselves, for our families, wherever we're at. That's the fundamental reason why we're working. So the next question that is begged from that for me is, what is the organization that you're working for doing to help you execute whatever that vision is? Are they helping you write that down? Are they helping you make a plan to go through it? Are they helping you to remove the barriers that are keeping you from getting there, whatever those may be? I can't think of a lot of companies that are framing it that way.
No.
They might frame it as, hey, we provide great compensation, great benefits. You have a flexible work schedule. Hey, we're really willing and able to let you work from home or do all these different things. To the extent that that's possible, everyone's doing that. To the extent that that's not possible, given whatever the work environment is, you just can't do that. And an employer can be as accommodating as they can be and as supportive as they can be, but at some point in time, they have to be judgmental. I have to judge your performance. I have to judge your ability to show up and speak to our customers, support your coworkers, all those different things. I have to do that at some point. That's my job as a leader within the organization, my job as your supervisor, and the organization has to do that in order to meet the other demands that they have from their customers and so on and so forth. So a business can't really be in that position to create that space of, well, what sort of life do you want to live? At the same time, employees don't want to be asked those sorts of questions from their employer because that's a deeply personal thing to me. And we don't have that kind of relationship, whether it's your supervisor, the HR within the organization, the CEO of the company, or your coworkers. We have a different kind of relationship than what I'm talking about there. So if I want to get deeply personal with someone, I would rather it not be someone that I work with, which is why what we do, and based off this model that we've talked about, is what it's built off of. Having that space that's created by a third party who is not a part of the organization, but is within the organization, and that we're there and we actually sit on site a certain number of days of the week. So all you have to do and to come and talk to one of our, it's called a work-life coach is the position. All you have to do to talk to them is just walk down the hall and see if the light's on. Mm-hmm. You can call us, you can text us, you can send us an email. You can chat, and some of our employer partners were on their internal intranet, so Microsoft Teams or whatever, you can find us that way. We're a part of the workplace culture, but we're not of the employer. So the things that you talk to us about in that room don't leave that room. They stay within that space.
So I want to skip a bunch of questions because I'm so interested in what you're doing. I just want to talk about WorkLab and what you're doing. And so thank you for segueing into this. This is wonderful. So give me an idea. I'd love to have my audience reach out to you and get a hold of you to maybe, you know, to pick up some clients and some customers. What's the best way for people to get in touch with you? Like a website or an email?
Yep. So our website is theworklab.us.
Theworklab.us.
Yep. Okay. Or .us, but I like to say .us.
I like us better. Theworklab.us. Okay.
And then you can also find me on LinkedIn. The WorkLab has a page on LinkedIn as well. Those are probably the best ways to connect with us.
And who are your, what kind of, who can you serve the best? What kind of clients and customers do you serve the best?
So my short answer for that, so we partner directly with the employer. So the agreement that we make is between us and an employer. And
local, could, national, I mean...
You know, an Omaha base as a starting place is okay. better, but there's nothing keeping us from expanding into other communities. Okay. And my short answer for the, who's the type of company that's a good company for us to work with is, do you have people that work for you? Because if you have people that work for you, they have a life that they're trying to build for themselves and their families. And they have other things that are going on that are keeping them from being as productive and as present as they possibly could be. And they would probably like someone to talk to about it.
Yeah, I think it's a, there's a huge need for it. I mean, I would think that, you know, a lot of people at the top in leadership don't have a lot of people to talk to.
That too.
And ask questions. So yep. How often when you're going into a company, how long does it take you to analyze to see where you can be the most beneficial?
Well, we keep it really simple. So we don't go in.
And I'm sorry, I'm asking you questions that good. I did that
you're
I
good.
Didn't prepare
you're good.
You
you're
for.
Good. You're good.
So this is all raw.
I'm fine on the fly. I'm fine on the fly. So
I'm not going to ask you the capital of certain states, I promise you.
I probably know most of them, but let's a separate conversation.
Okay.
So we don't go in and do any sort of like assessment of whether or not this is going to work. We just kind of put it out there. Do you want to have a work-life coach made available to your employees? And if you do, here are the options that you have available to you. And those options can range from having someone there every day of the week. And in that case, we would have two different coaches that would be serving that employer. But we can also go all the way down to a company with less than 10 employees, and they would have a much less amount of on-site access to the work-life coach, but they would have total virtual access to a work-life coach. So, and that price tag is much different, you know, depending on who you are and how many employees you have and how much of our presence that you want. But we keep it really simple. So when an employer contracts with us, and let's just say they do a couple days a week, what we do then is we have a process by which we launch to the employer. So we get to know the leadership of the organization, who they are, what they care about, but also who we are and what we're there to do. We get to know the supervisors within the organization because they play a huge role in making referrals.
And how do you get to know these people?
We go and meet with them.
Okay.
Yep. In person.
Just
so
spend time.
Yep. So, you know, it could be a lunch meeting that we have and let's just talk and get to know each other. It could be a more formal, you know, as you get into groups of employees, you have to do more of a formal meeting.
Sure, sure.
But it's a, hey, here's an overview of who we are and what we do and how you can, you know, be a part of it, whether it's for yourself or for your employees, and then ask us anything about what we do and why we do it and how all those things work. So we have a process by which we get in front of everyone that works within the organization before we're even out there. And then once we're out there, we put a sign on the door of the office that we're going to be in. That's an invitation to come in and talk to us about. And our definition is anything that's keeping you from being fully physically, mentally, or emotionally present at work, whatever that may be for you on any given day, you are invited to come and talk to us about it.
It's like an in-house therapist.
In a way, we're not therapists.
Yeah, no, we're
but
not.
But it can
right.
be, it opens
counseling
that door for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So
and
the services
just need somebody to vent to, don't they?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So the three main services that we provide, as we define them, are coaching conversations, which is wide open. And this is really just the process which we use to have those conversations. We view ourselves as a coach first and foremost. We also do financial counseling. So we lead with build the life you want supported by your work. That's our mission statement. I've yet to meet someone who has a goal that doesn't cost money, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So having your financial life, the blocking, tackling, fundamental part of your financial life in a place where you know what's going on and you're attending to it, that's what we're there to help you with. And then between those two, we can't do everything. So I like to say that our coaches will go 3 to 4 inches deep, but a mile wide. And that's where the third part of our service comes in, which is really unique of what we do, which is kind of taken off of that thing in Grand Rapids, Michigan. It's resource navigation, which is we can't help you with the thing because we're not an expert in that space, or you need to go deeper than we have time or attention for. We're branching out into the community for someone who can help you with that. That could be a nonprofit that provides services in that space, could be government benefits if that falls into that category, or It could be an individual in the private sector who we've built a relationship with, and anyone that we've built a relationship with follows our sales ethos, which is educate first, make the sale second.
Mm, I love that.
And the theory behind that is, if, and it kind of comes down to what you're talking about earlier, someone says, hey, I need help with this. Hey, I don't know the answer to that, but let me make a connection for you. Or, hey, I know something about that. Let me tell you a little bit more about it. And then you make the best decision for you. And I'm here if you want to talk more. That's the kind of person that we're looking for.
Is it measurable when people come into your that little office that to visit that you mentioned earlier? Is it measurable of how many people it relates back to the leadership in the company when they say that they've got issues, they're not happy, or that does it ever come back to the leadership in the company?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
How do you, so my second question to that is, how do you handle that?
Yep. So there's been a lot of change over the last 5 years, and it's been very dramatic.
A lot.
And there are a lot of organizations today that are preparing for the next 10 or 15 years, and they're preparing for a world that's going to be a lot different than it was for the last 10 or 15 years. Mm-hmm. But most of the people that are working for them know the world of the last 10 or 15 years pretty well, because that's where they've had most of their work experience. And they're not sure about what's coming next, but the organization is trying to prepare for that. So in the middle of that, there's a lot of uncertainty about what your future is with the organization. And if the organization is implementing some of those changes today, that uncertainty breeds questions, and not all of those questions have answers.
Okay.
So an employee may be frustrated with what is going on. They may not know exactly what's going on. And they come into our office.
Yep.
And sometimes, and you talked about this earlier, sometimes you just want someone to talk to. I like to frame that as, sometimes you just want to scream at the wall, but you would like the wall to at least acknowledge your presence.
Right, that they matter.
Yes.
And we're gonna stop there. We're going to take a quick break, Chad, and I want to pick up exactly where we left off. Everybody stay with us. I'm with Chad Mayers, the founder and president of and CEO of The Work Lab. So we'll be right back. And we're back on the journey. I'm with my special guest, Chad Mayers, the president and CEO of The Work Lab. And man, I want to tell you, I'm asking all these questions for me because I'm so interested. You have a cool company, my friend.
I mean, appreciate that.
You've got an organization that I know right now people need. I mean, I know people right now I'm going to refer you to because they need what you have. People feel like they're on an island. You're
yep.
right. All these changes that are going on, a lot of people don't know what their value is in the company.
Yep.
I got to tell you this real quick, and I know you can relate to it, is, you know, I do speaking, and sometimes after I speak to a company, they say, hey, will you come in and visit with my people? So I did it for this company, about, I don't know, 175 people, been around Omaha forever. I won't mention the company's name. And they loved my presentation. He said, hey, we want you to visit with all of our top people, you know, maybe 30 people individually, and just get their feelings and see if you can help them and if they have questions. And moving forward, the majority of them said, we love our job, but we don't know if the owner loves us.
Mm-hmm.
And I got so many of those. When I was all done after a couple months, and I sit down with the owner and they're his leadership team, and I give them my findings. And I said, they don't know how you feel about them, because I'm in a position, I've got to just tell them, be transparent.
Yep.
And he goes, well, I love them. 75-year-old man, he goes, I love them. And I go, have you ever told me? He goes, I'm not that guy. He's a little gruff and, you know, it's a heat and air company.
Yeah.
A little gruff and He goes, I'm not that person. I go, why not? I go, maybe the greatest thing they've ever heard. Well, long story short, they had another annual meeting, asked me to come back and speak again. And I did, and I asked him before the meeting, I said, would you tell these people how they feel and just see what happens? And he's like reluctant. So when I was done speaking, it's his turn. He goes, I want to thank everybody for coming. They rented a theater, which mm-hmm. I think is a great environment, you know,
yeah.
a theater.
Yep.
And he goes, oh, by the way, after he's done, I just want everybody to know something. He goes, I love each and every one of you. And I want to tell you something. There wasn't a dry eye in the room. He goes, I may not tell you, but I do. And I would be very disappointed if you didn't work here. And I mean, even his leadership team was like an aha moment.
Mm-hmm.
But I think my point is, Chad, and I know you preach this, transparency is everything. It just is. If not now, then when? And if not us, then who? I mean,
yep.
People feel beaten down. So many people are beaten down. They feel like they're on an island. And what you offer, and I'm not just saying this because you're right here in the studio, people need what you have. They need. I mean, we work. I'm not going to get the figures right, so I'm not going to even attempt it. But I know it's. They say that we work at least a third of our life.
Mm-hmm.
Minimum, and we probably think about our jobs over half.
Yep.
Where even if you're not there, you're thinking about what you got to do tomorrow, or gosh, I wish the weekend didn't end. I don't want to go to work Monday, but you're thinking about it.
Yep.
To me, I want to make the work environment a happy place. I mean, you know, I was a pretty intense with my last company. I had 350 employees, and I started that company out of my basement, and I had to learn how to be a leader.
Yeah.
But I knew common sense was every time I ran into somebody at the office, I thanked them for coming to work.
Yep.
Because they need to feel like they matter. Our retention rate was ridiculous. Nobody quit.
Yep.
And I'd have other competitors call me and say, what are you guys doing? What's the magic sauce there that nobody leaves your company? I said, because we make everybody feel like they matter. I didn't know any other answer.
Yep.
I do want to congratulate you before the show is over. You won a very prestigious award that I was fortunate enough to read your name so you could walk across the stage. It's a big, big deal. It's called 40 Under 40, the Midlands Business Journal, a magazine, a newspaper that's been around. This is actually their 50th year in mm-hmm. business. And they've given, in their 50 years, there's over 900 people that have won this award over 50 years, and congratulations on that.
I appreciate that.
It's a really big deal. It means you've been identified of somebody that's doing good things, and you're making a difference.
Yep.
And you're part of a fraternity now that, you know, they get together. I mean, you'll get stuff in the email that people getting together that were in the 40 under 40. But how'd that make you feel when you found out you... Because somebody had to nominate you.
Yeah. The coolest part about it for me was who nominated me. And they kept it secret and told me after the fact, but it was a combination of three groups of people.
Wow.
My employees with the work lab, representatives of our employer partners that we work with, and then my wife, who another plug for buying her nice things. was also a part of that. So having having the people that you spend, you know, most of your time in service of, give you that sort of recognition and put your name out there for that was the coolest part about that for me.
Wow. I mean, how validating is that with those three entities, people caring deep enough to nominate you?
Yep.
That's pretty darn cool.
Yep. That was very cool.
Yeah. Congratulations. I'm really, really proud of you. And, how do you clone yourself? I mean, so the people that are going around, I mean, I could see you making a huge difference, but what kind of training are you doing for the people to go in and visit with these companies? I know you can't be everywhere.
Yeah. Well, and that's really, it's our work-life coaches. So we have a team of, other than myself, there's eight other people that work for us. Our program manager who oversees the work-life coach team, and then all of our work-life coaches We have 10 different employer partners that we're working with currently, and then 7 coaches are serving those companies. And the companies that we're working with, if I can I plug them real quick?
I
think they
to.
Deserve credit.
Yes, please.
The way that the reason why we're positioned as a nonprofit employer collaborative is because this is a group of employers who've come together to make this happen. The investment that we have to be able to do what we do comes directly for them.
Wow.
So I told you how many people work for us.
Yeah.
And you've ran companies before, so yeah. You know the all-in cost of doing that. Mm-hmm. These employer partners are paying us how much that costs to do it.
Wow.
So those employers are Lozier Corporation, North End Teleservices, Signature Performance, Oxbow Animal Health, QLI, Airlight Plastics, Children's Nebraska, Sun Valley Landscaping, Nye Health Services, and Ortho Nebraska.
My word. Those are some big, big names in our community.
Very forward-thinking companies.
Of Ortho. They gave me a new shoulder.
I bet they did a wonderful job.
They did, and I'm going
job.
Back. I'm going yep. back to talk to them about a hip. They're awesome.
Yep. Yeah.
But wow, what a credit. I mean, what a validation that they've invested it. They've invested in you, and they've invested in your concept.
Yep. Yep. And they've invested a significant amount of money in doing it because they understand the value. And when I asked, if I were to ask them, what are you paying for? They're paying for a way to demonstrate to their folks in the best way that they can, because of the things that I talked about earlier. We can't be everything for everyone, and we have this different kind of relationship with our folks, but we want to show our people that they matter to us, that we appreciate them and the contributions that they make to our organization, and we want them to be successful in whatever it is that they want to do, because it's different for everyone. Because of those things, we want them to have a work-life coach available to them that they can choose to talk to about anything at any point in time, so that they're able to build that life that they want for themselves.
So they all have it. They've got you guys on speed dial. I mean, you're there for them.
Yep. And last year, just to put some numbers to it, so across those employers, and we just started with 9 and Ortho at the beginning of this year. So if I'm using last year, it was just the group
sure,
of 8.
Sure, sure.
But across those 8 employers, they have about 8,000 employees, 8,000 and change. This past year, we worked with over 1,000 different people across those employers.
Wow.
So 1/8 of the base of employees.
That's a lot. That is a lot. And those are some big staples in Omaha, the companies that you just mentioned. What are some of your future growth plans? Do you want another 8? Do you want another group of companies like that?
Yeah, I mean, our goal basically is that we think that every company should offer this kind of benefit to their employees. Your employees should have someone to talk
to. Investing in them.
As a way to invest in them because of the fundamental reason why we go to work. Mm-hmm. I go to work every day because I'm moving towards something. I may not even know what it is. We had an employee at one of our partner companies who had been with the company for 25 years and was getting close to retirement, and had a conversation with our coach one day and basically said, I don't know how it's been 25 years. It's not bad necessarily, but it's not necessarily good in the other direction. It just kind of happened. And I've been here and I wasn't quite sure why. I always imagined I might do something else, or I didn't know why I was here. But now I'm at this point in my life where I never answered that question for myself. But if he could rewind 25 years and write down what I wanted to do, he might say, I want to have a house. I want to provide a nice life for my family, dot, 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 dot. Well, our next question was, have you done those things? Well, yeah, I did. Well,
wow.
maybe you did it without even realizing it.
Can you see when you're across from people, and I know your coaches, can you see the light bulb go off? Like, can you tell that they're having a moment? They're like, wow.
Yeah.
That they've not been asked that question, and maybe they didn't know what their purpose was and what their why was, and you're bringing that out in them.
Yeah.
And is it a game changer for their performance and their quality of life?
It definitely can be.
I would
definitely
think
can
so.
Be. Having that opportunity to have a space where you can go and talk to someone about things that matter to you, and it could be things that no one else cares about at all in your life, but it's something that matters to you. Having that opportunity to go and talk about it, and having someone who's going to take a genuine interest in what it is, because all our coaches care about is what you want. That's the only reason why they're there. What do you want to do? I'm here in service of that.
Do you place coaches based on the personalities and the company where there's a, where you know it would be a good fit?
We used to put a lot more thought into that than we do now. What we do now is we hire the best coach that we can find, in the belief that if we get the best person that we can find, whoever they are working with will have that outcome. It may not be initially, and there may be some differences in who they are and who the coach is, who the employees are and who the coach is, but we can get through those over time if the coach is doing a good job.
I would think that a great coach, I mean, could even be somebody that's already been through the business, that's already retired, or somebody that's already been there and done that.
Yeah, could be. Could be. It's really the coaching is about the process that we use, which is opening up the floor for the employee to talk about the things that
about
they want.
Them. Nope. It's all statistics and application and theory.
Yeah, it's an application of a coaching conversation with someone that unlocks something that is in someone's mind that they've probably thought a lot about. They just maybe haven't connected dots on. And asking them a good what or how question about it, or, and this is one of my favorite things to do, sitting in silence and letting the person think about it, because silence is a good question. Because if I were to stop talking right now, which I'm not going to do because it's a radio show.
It's the worst thing you can do on radio.
You would you would start to think about whatever it is that we've been talking about, and you're moving forward in your mind in some way, shape, or form. Yeah.
Listening. You know, I'm a parent of a 36-year-old daughter, and, you know, I'm just now, not just now, I've realized what I needed to do my whole time with her. But, I mean, I give more unsolicited advice without listening to the full meaning of what her issue is or what her question is.
Yep.
And it's powerful when you finally get it to just be quiet and let them talk. Yep. And a lot of times, they're going to solve their own challenge by just having somebody. And I know you know that. And that's part of your program.
Yep. And the interesting thing about that, when they solve their own challenge, because you've been listening and just asking them questions, we always reflect this back, but they give us the credit for it.
I imagine. How does that make you feel? That know that you've played Chad Mayers and your company WorkLab have played a significant role in making other people's lives better. That's got to be overwhelming.
The thing that I like about it is that people get to move forward in a way that they can move closer to what they want to do.
Wow.
That gives me all the satisfaction I need. And it goes back to the award. You know, I would have never pursued anything like that. I'm not big on individual recognition. I just want people to get into a better place than they were. That's really what we're trying to do with folks, and it's the compounding effect of that that can have that organizational impact that we need to have to get the investment that we need. But that's what we're going for.
Well, Chad, I want to tell you, and I mean this with all sincerity, you're a special person. I'm glad that I personally have gotten to know you and what you have to offer the business community and companies is really something that's needed. I see it so often, and I can't wait to refer you and anybody listening, theworklab.us, learn more about Chad. You can give him a call, get the contact info from his website, and I know you'd be thrilled to visit with him.
Absolutely.
But Chad, I feel like I need to have you for a part two because I still have a number of questions we didn't get to because I'm so interested in what you're doing.
Yeah.
And we need you. Our city, our society needs what you have to offer at the WorkLab. But We're out of time. I want to say thank you a million times for being on the journey. I'm grateful for you. So thanks for being on the show.
Appreciate that. Thank you for the opportunity.
You bet. And thank you all for listening to another episode of The Journey.